This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, even if we were robbed out of an hour of sleep today. We're going to make up for it during the service. It is about an hour-long sermon. All right, let's see. Lenten services continue this Wednesday at 7 p.m. We will have a meal consisting of chicken noodle soup. Is that right? Chicken noodle soup? You weren't even listening to me. At 6 p.m. with the really good rolls again. All right. So please join us for that if you're able to do so. It looks like in your bulletins there were flower order forms. They are due next Sunday in order for us to get those flowers on time. Let's see. You should have all gotten an email or in the newsletter this week. Some email addresses have changed. Our website will be changing. It's not exactly 100% operational yet, but that all is coming. I think it's up, but I don't think I've communicated the email address yet because as of that newsletter, it wasn't quite up yet. So anyway, all of that is changing. You can still Google it and get to it. This week, I'll send out the actual email website address. So, any other announcements this morning? No jam today. So,
yeah, I can take jam.
You can take jam. Do you have something for them to do in jam? Okay. All right. Well, we will have jam today, and Ben's taking the thing. So, all right, we will do a noisy offering right now. Thank you. And if you're going to jam, you can go out back. Please stand as you're able to do so if you're not going to jam. I mean, you can go if you want. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit so that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may walk in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us together alive with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Now we will sing the first three verses only of hymn 777.
And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First reading is from the Exodus, the 17th chapter. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rocks at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 95 responsively with me. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with a song of praise.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice.
Renew our heart and our hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day of our
when your ancestors tested me and put to the proof, though they had seen my work.
For 40 years I told them that your nation says, "They are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways."
Therefore in my anger I swore, "They shall not enter my rest." The second reading is from Romans, the 5th chapter. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we are still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we are sinners, God died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The fourth chapter of John today. So I've asked a few people to help me so you don't have to hear my voice for the entire time. So Kevin is playing the role of Jesus. And Marty, you're the woman at the well. And I am just your humble narrator. So this is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is you that is saying this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his son and his flocks drank from it?"
Jesus said to her,
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her,
"Go, call your husband and come back."
The woman answered him,
"I have no husband."
Jesus said to her,
"You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped you on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
Jesus said to her,
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks as much as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
The woman said to him,
"I know that Messiah is coming,
who is called Christ.
When he comes, he will still proclaim all things to us."
Jesus said to her,
"I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" Or, "Why are you speaking to her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them,
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." But Jesus said to them,
"My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for the harvesting. The reaper is ready, receiving wages, and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So, how many of you here liked school? Or, I guess in Lydia's case, like school? Anybody? All right. I guess maybe a better question is, how many of you here remember school? Yeah? Yeah, sorry. Just another old joke. Today, I want to use some of these old subjects, geography, history, language arts, maybe a little math, throw in some linguistics from way back when to understand this story in a new way. So let's start off with some geography. And Randy, if you will, could we have our map, please? All right, it's a little small up there, so I'll narrate this map for you. This is the area of the world that Jesus lived and traveled in as he would have known it. In the south here, on the bottom of this map, you have Judea. You can see Jerusalem, and then below that, there's this little itty-bitty town of Bethlehem. And then up top, you have Galilee. And in Galilee, you see some towns whose names we know: Cana, Nazareth, Capernaum, Tiberias. And there's a problem. Right there in the middle of Galilee, or between Galilee and Judea, there is this place called Samaria. You see, the Jews, they lived in Judea and in Galilee, and they did not live in Samaria. The Samaritans, as we hear today, they were not really friendly with the Jews. So, what is this problem? From our gospel today, the narrator adds this aside. Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Except, is that really all that true? So, let's move from geography to history for a moment. We hear the Samaritan woman say, "Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well?" The Jews and the Samaritans shared a common ancestry, but at some point, perhaps because of, or maybe in spite of, their kinship, their shared history, the tensions between these two groups, the Jews and the Samaritans, boiled over. And I'm going to quote from a scholar here: "The Jewish-Samaritan enmity climaxed in 128 BCE, when the high priest and ruler of the Jews destroyed the capital of Shechem and razed the Samaritan temple on Mount Gerizim to the ground." So if you look at where my circle is drawn around the city of Sychar, just south of that is Mount Gerizim. Well, apparently, about 150 years before this, the Jews destroyed the Samaritan temple in that area. So it's no small surprise then that the Jews and the Samaritans are still enemies in the day of Jesus. So back to geography. Sychar, where I have the red circle up there, that is where Jesus finds himself today. He should have been in Judea or Galilee. What is he doing in the middle of Samaritan territory? So last week, our gospel was from John 3. We know that one, right? Jesus was in Jerusalem where he met Nicodemus and told him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," yada, 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 yada. Today we read nearly all, or we read nearly all of John 4, but the lectionary cuts off a very important detail. John 4, starting in verse 3, says this: Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. Geography. Had to go through Samaria. So there's a red line on this map, there's a purple line, and there's a brown line on this map. How many ways are there to get from Judea to Galilee?
Three.
So did Jesus have to go through Samaria? No. Then is the narrator, I guess it was me, was I lying to you when I didn't say, because I didn't read this part, that Jesus had to go through Samaria? So let's transition from geography now to language arts. Had to. What does this word, this phrase, had to, mean to you? No? What's that?
He had to spread the gospel in
Samaria. I think you're on to something. So to me, it means required, no other options, no choice, as in Jesus had no other option than to go through Samaria. But as we see, geographically, he had two other options. And I know what you're thinking. Let's do some math. That's what you were thinking, right? That's what Lydia was thinking. Finish this sentence. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So, Jerusalem, Galilee, Sychar. That's roughly a straight line. So, honestly, the path through Samaria is the path that makes the most sense. So why were there these paths that went around Samaria? Anybody? Nobody likes Samaria. At least not the Jews that have to travel from their land in Judea up to their land in Galilee. So unfortunately, when it comes to the hatred of other groups, math and logic get thrown out the window. And guess which routes the Jews typically used when traveling between these two places? Lydia? Which routes did they use? They went around. So that brown path that took us all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, or the red path that took us all the way to the Jordan River in the east, not the path straight through that took us through the hated Samaritans. I mean, you wouldn't want to have to see any stupid Samaritans, would you? Not if you hate them. But Jesus had to. Jesus had to go through Samaria. This entire passage, Jesus' entire ministry, I think, hinges, it turns, it grows and expands and it develops, it explodes based on these two little overlooked, left out, seemingly inconsequential, I can say it, inconsequential words, had to. Our knowledge of history says Jesus shouldn't have ventured into Samaria. Our knowledge of geography says Jesus had two alternate routes, and we know that these are the routes that the Jews typically used. Then what is going on here, Clint? You already said it. Jesus had to go through Samaria because there was someone there he had to meet. Was it coincidence or providence that Jesus met this woman at the well?
Providence.
I would say providence. And if I rewrote John 4:4, here's what I would make it say. But Jesus had to go to meet a Samaritan woman at the well in Sychar so she could participate in now in announcing salvation to all the earth. Sounds a little different, right? So let me explain why it was important for this person, for Jesus to meet this person. Number one, she. Quite simply, she. She was she. As a woman, she mattered less than men of her time. Which brings me to number two. Jesus says, you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. We don't know why this woman had so many husbands. Their fault, her fault, probably both. But we know that women could be treated as property. If a man wanted to divorce a woman, guess what? He could do it. And as far as property goes, well, a woman married five times in this society is pretty much, well, worthless. This woman that Jesus had to meet was a worthless piece of property. And finally, she is, everyone say it with me together, she is a Samaritan. Three strikes against her. If there was an LVP award, least valuable person, across the regions of Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, this woman, this Samaritan, this five-time loser when it comes to husbands, she would have won this award. Jesus had to go to Samaria, to this well, to Jacob's well, to meet this LVP because he had to talk to this woman. I promised I would get into linguistics, and I think this is linguistics. I'm not sure. I don't know what that even means. Just makes me sound smart. Jesus and this woman engaged in a dialogue. This is part of the reason I had Kevin and Marty read this today. They were conversing back and forth. Dialogue, meaning two. Not monologue, meaning one. Jesus didn't preach at her. He talked to her. It was a dialogue between two people, this woman and Jesus. They had a conversation. He met her where she was in the midst of her everyday life, at a well, in the heat of the day, and they talked back and forth. And this back and forth conversation, it was the longest conversation Jesus has with anyone that is recorded in any of the Gospels. This woman, this so-called least valuable person, is valuable to Jesus. This woman, this Samaritan, this five-time loser, she matters. In their last exchange, the woman says, I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus responds pretty simply. He says, I am he. I am God and I am the Messiah. And this is the only time in John's gospel that Jesus reveals himself as Messiah to anyone. Not to Peter, James, John, any of the other disciples, not to the religious leaders of the day, not to any Jews. He reveals it to this loser of a Samaritan woman, the least valuable person. Jesus had to find this woman in order to fulfill what he had said to Nicodemus shortly before. For God so loved the world, not just Judea, not just Galilee, but the world, which includes the hated Samaritans, and even the Roman conquerors of the Jews, which includes the so-called least of these, which includes, by the way, the people that you and I hate, which includes our enemies. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. So I ask us, this is the fun part, where is your Samaria? I guess I have to ask myself, where is my Samaria? So where is our Samaria? What places do we hate? What places are we afraid to go? That we double the length of our journey to go around it. What places, what people do we walk in the opposite direction of? Who is our least valuable person? Our most worthless person? The most despised person? The most hated person? Or people? And I'm going to pause here and allow you to come up with that person or people in your mind, because that's not a rhetorical question. I know you all have one of these people or persons or groups of people. You don't have to say it out loud. I mean, you can. We have to go to Samaria. We have to have dialogue, not monologue. We go to sit down face to face and have conversation with the hated Samaritan. To share a drink of cool water on a hot day, but not just any water, the water that gushes forth with eternal life. And sometimes it is only in these places, the places that we actively avoid, that we go around, the places that we run away from, that we can even find this water, because guess what? It is in these places where we find Christ, the Messiah. It is in these places where we share living water with the Samaritans in our midst, where the truth may just dawn on us that I too am the least of these. Well, guess what? We are all the least of these. None of us is worthy of Jesus, the I Am, the Messiah. And yet today we see that we have a God that sits down and talks to us. We deserve a God that delivers speech to us in monologue form, that preaches at us. But for us, our God is in dialogue with us. Our God offers us conversation. And at the end, we hear our God say, "You matter. You matter." Because to our God, none of us is the least of these. We all matter, which is why Jesus had to, as Clint said, go to Samaria. Which is why we too must go to Samaria. And we, like the most valuable woman at the well, are given a chance to participate in the salvation of the world. And we do this just like she did, by running into town and proclaiming this good news. There's a man out by the well giving out living water. It is free for all. And through him, we will not perish, but we will have eternal life. Go and see it for yourselves if you don't believe me. Once you see him, you will believe. And it is for this good news, the good news that we are invited to share, that we must share, that we have to share, that I today, as always, say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I ask you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation.
We pray for your church. Bless partnerships with other Christians and interreligious dialogue. Guide the daily work of denominational and congregational leaders. Strengthen our combined witness for the sake of the gospel, that all experience your life-giving love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We pray for the universe. All creation teems with life, from the depths of the earth and seas to the skies above. Fill us with awe and reverence for the diversity and preservation of life. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world. Topple the dividing walls that separate us from our neighbors. Form us into your beloved community, where diversity of gender, race, language, ability, and ethnic origin is celebrated and affirmed. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We pray for those who suffer in mind, body, and spirit. Be present with all who are lonely and give courage to all who are afraid. Comfort those who live with chronic illnesses or other sickness, especially those impacted by natural disasters, including the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria, those who are impacted by human-made disasters, including those impacted by the derailed train in East Palestine, Ohio. Be with Joy, Jean, Stephanie, Jean, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Kim, Katie, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma, and those that are touched by and those that support First Lutheran's outreach ministries, and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We pray that you give them your living water always. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We pray for this congregation, especially those preparing for baptism. Nurture their faith and pour your love into their hearts. Inspire our community by their testimony to God's grace in their lives. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace to one another.
Continue with our gifts and our offerings. Maybe.
Thank you.
of good gifts. Receive these and all our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts to receive you in this meal as you pour out your very presence through Jesus Christ, the wellspring of eternal life. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and speak their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, for as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
All right. Whenever, no one wants to come up here, I'm sure, but what? It was an extra. Whenever you see these up here, it generally means that we are sending people out of this place with communion for those who cannot come here. So whenever, it's just a reminder to us all that when you see these up here, it means that we are not just receiving communion in this place, we are sending it out. So I just wanted to take a chance to remind us that when we were already over our hour limit, right, Tom? Please stand as you're able to do so. And now, may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and all those that we send it to. Strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Embodied God, at your table we have tasted the goodness of Jesus. With the eyes of our hearts open to your promise, empower us to hear the needs of our neighbors and touch the world with your love. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
And now, brothers and sisters, go in peace and always serve in love.
And thanks be to God.